Hey friends, welcome back. Today we're going to be talking to Dale Wilshire. It is going to be a treat. Now, Dale is an executive leadership coach and a personal development expert who helps individuals and organizations turn their purpose into full potential. Now, you might be wondering what exactly I mean by purpose, because it's a word that tends to get thrown around, but Dale knows exactly what it means, and she's going to pinpoint that for us today. She happens to be the author of an award-winning personality book, the creator of several online courses on personality, career, and training boundaries, and she's also a faculty member for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's Institute of Organizational Management. She is IFC accredited as a professional certified coach and holds certifications as a certified professional life coach, career services provider, and a Gallup StrengthsFinder champion coach. She has an amazing background. She is an inspirational keynote speaker. She has been in sales and in science, and she's uniquely qualified to provide high-level insights into hidden strengths, beliefs, and calling using the latest findings in positive psychology, leadership, and neuroscience. Now, she is going to share so much with us today, so buckle up and let's get started. Hi, Dale. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is so amazing to have you here today. And there's so much to talk about. We've already done an introduction, but you tell us in your own words kind of what you do and what brought you to this point.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I'm thrilled to be here. So I am a professional development expert. So I help people grow into their ideal jobs, grow in their careers, you know, grow into everything that they're supposed to be, their full potential. So I have been coaching for the last 10 years. I primarily work with women who are tired of trying to be everything to everyone, and they want to get clear about, you know, kind of what their source of genius is so that they feel like they have the bigger yes so they can say no to other things. And sometimes that's a direction their business is going, or they're like, I don't love the work I do. Like, I'm good at it, but I just don't feel like it's me. So it can lead there. So I work with leaders who want to develop their leadership potential along with managing their teams. And then just people in general. I've been a life coach for a long time, but also do career and life coaching with it. I'm a keynote speaker. That's some of my favorite stuff to do, to get to be able to go out to audiences and talk about all this and tell stories along with it. And then I've got a new membership like you do. And I have some courses, other things that have kind of allowed me to deliver the things that I do.
Oh, absolutely. That's awesome. So it sounds like you've been doing this for a while now. Tell us a little bit about the journey, like when you first started and how it's evolved over time.
Oh boy, Heidi. So the journey. So go back 10 years. You know, I had my own career earlier. I'm definitely older. So, you know, I was a science person. I got my undergraduate degree in invertebrate zoology, went to graduate school for molecular biology, thought, what am I doing here? Because that's where the first time I thought, this is not the right environment for my personality. Like, this is theoretical. Everybody wants to work alone, and I just want to be more enterprising. So that's the first time I realized that who I am may get in the way of what I am interested in. Like, I like science. I intellectually, I love that, but I realized that was not the right environment. So then I got out of that and I got into technical sales for a pharmaceutical company after being a microbiologist. And then I had children and I stayed home with my kiddos. And what, you know, my story might be a little bit different from some, but I was so excited to stay home with my kids. It was always a dream of mine to be able to do. I have four daughters who are now older. But what was started as a dream actually kind of became a necessity. So I was married to someone who had addictions, mental health issues, and so I had to give up my career for a long time. So I stayed home for 17 years with my kids, and then that came to an end, and was kind of a shock, that it was. I kind of thought that's how I would live for the rest of my life. And, so when it did, I was unprepared, and I thought, oh, I eventually got full custody of all four of my daughters, which is a very rare occurrence. And I thought, I'm going to need a big job. I can't, you know, like, I'd have other women in my neighborhood were like, okay, I'm going to be a para at the school. Like, I couldn't be a para. I couldn't go be a barista. Like, I needed to figure this out. And I had no idea who I was. None. I mean, a lot of parents, moms will say, you know, I've been trying to be everybody, what everybody needs me to be for so long. I have no idea who I am anymore. And I was exactly that. And I'd lived in a pretty toxic situation for a long time. And who I was not liked by that person. So I, you know, I didn't even want to be who I was. So I had to kind of fight through all that. I met with a bunch of different people who kind of coached me through this process. Like, who are you? What are you good at? What are your, some of your top accomplishments? And I'd never really considered any of those questions. And I didn't even know that career coaching was a thing. Back then, I just kind of pieced it together, hired different people in different ways. It took a long time, but eventually I started my own business and I started in life coaching, moved to career coaching, because when people want to figure out who they are, a lot of times it has to do with, and then what should I do with this? So I kind of got credentialed through that process and then have moved into a lot more leadership coaching. But I, you know, when I work with people in a career way, a lot of times it's bigger pivots. I mean, when people are kind of like, I do not know what else there is for me, but I know that this is not it. Those are the juicy ones that I like, because that's part of my story. I knew I wasn't going to go back to what I had done before because I couldn't travel, needed to take care of my kids. I was it. I had no village. So I needed to figure some things out in a completely fresh way, but much older. I thought, I am way too old for this. And I was terrified. I had nothing to contribute. And it was embarrassing. I thought, I'm going to be, you know, dealing with people like 20 years younger than me who are going to be my boss. Mm-hmm. So to me, I always say, whatever you do, it's taking a lot of courage and humility. And those are two of my top values. And I think that helped. But it's a lot of the work I get to do with people to make it easier and let them know they do have a contribution. And you don't have to shoot too low to start. Like, there are bigger things for you to do. You may not start where you came out, but, and I don't work with only people who are reentering, but I sometimes think we play it too safe. So I encourage them to use their gifts and strengths and to help them find the best places to do that.
I love that. Okay. This is beautiful. So you mentioned a couple things that are really interesting. And I also have you read a little bit about what you do. And the first thing, and I've got lots of notes here on what you said, because you said a number of different things that are going to resonate with our audience. But the first thing is who I am versus what I'm interested in, right? Like, who am I personality wise, values, et cetera, versus the things that I like. Oftentimes in college, students are always told, pick a major that you like, and that's going to lead to a career that you like, but that isn't always the case. So can you shed some light on that?
Well, Patricia, I mean, you know way better than me, but it's so true. I mean, if that's the only gauge, and I didn't, you know, so I thought I liked science. I liked all my biology classes. I kind of liked math. I hated history. I did not. I liked one English teacher, but I was like, okay, I guess I'll go that way. And then, you know, I followed that along, but I also, being in the sciences, nobody was ever talking about the business of science. So I just followed that path. Like, and then you finish your undergrad, and in this case, you get your PhD. There really wasn't a master's available. And I did not know at that time I was enterprising. This is all the stuff. Like, I went, when I was in college, I was in a sorority and we did a little training. And it was for leadership. And that's the first time I'd heard about personality. And so they, you know, asked us two questions. There were like 25 of us. They said, okay, come over here. If you are an asker, I want you to go to that side of the room. And if you're a teller, stay on this side. And I was like, well, I've been trained to be a good girl. This is the University of Georgia, where we're all supposed to be polite. I am going to the asker side because my mother would want me to be on the asker side. And my roommate took one look at me and she was like, get yourself back to the teller side. Like, you are a teller. And then she did it one more time that she goes, okay, now, but there's some cute girls on the teller side. So I was like, I can accept this about myself. And then she said, are you task focused or are you relationship focused? And I'm thinking, because I was like, I got the last question wrong. So I was like, okay, I love people, but I really like getting stuff done. So in the meantime, as I'm thinking about all this, like, everybody leaves the box I'm in, and I am left in this teller task box with one other woman that I didn't even like. And I was like, I don't want to be this. I don't even like her. So I was a D on the disc, which is what I use with people now, which is dominant, direct, and decisive. And I thought, Well, A, I'm never going to get a date because what are you going to do?
Right.
Let me set you up with Dale. She's dominant. Like, I don't want to date the person who says yes to that.
Yeah.
But so I never understood who I was. I didn't know that D's are usually more enterprising and there we do like to lead. We like to be very independent. We don't like to follow hierarchy and structure and, you know, and it's not about intelligence, but we're not academic in the way that we like to just spend a lot of time getting degrees. I'm all about like, what do I do with this? How can I make this practical? So, you know, for graduate school, that was, I just thought something was wrong with me. And I thought that for a long time. It took a long time before I understood it was really the personality thing. So for example, you know, like S's on the disc, I call them stabilizers. It's the biggest portion of the population. They could have any interest. They could go to graduate school. They could do fine in graduate school because they're a little bit more patient, but then they would use it to serve other people. You know, it's a different way of doing things. You know, improvers, those are C's on the disc. I call them improvers because they make us all better. They're very analytical and detail oriented. They do the best in those kinds of scenarios because they are, they're into analysis, they're into theory, they like how they can use this information and kind of postulate about it. They're not as social. If I had only known that stuff, I could have saved myself years. And that's what I want to do. And there's lots of great, you know, tools with Myers-Briggs. Like I said, I use DISC, but it's something that I think we kind of poo-poo because it seems so simple. And you're and people, when I'm doing personality testing, like when I speak and I have people take a quick personality test that I give them, I always say, you know what? The most dangerous word that you can use right now is the word can. I can do that as you're checking off strengths. I said, you know, I can be patient when I am well-rested and well-fed, but no one ever in my entire life has ever said, Dale, you are the most patient person I know. So I said, you've got to get like brutally honest about who you are. And can isn't going to help you. Like I can go to graduate school. I don't know how, but I got into that. It was an incredible program, but that wasn't going to keep me there or really make use of what my contribution was. So I feel like we need to do so much more for people understanding their base layer so that they can take what interests them, but make sure that it offers the, you know, opportunity to be in environments that are ideal for them.
Absolutely. And that kind of comes down to one of the three aspects that you mentioned is personality, right? Because you got personality, you've got passion, you got purpose. And we're going to come back to this. But another thing that you mentioned in your intro is that there was a moment where there was almost, and tell me if this is accurate, there's almost this like battle between necessity, survival, and purpose. Right? What we want to do isn't always what's going to get us where we need to be. So do you want to share a little bit about that to then make our way back to those three items?
Wow. I mean, that is such a good question. I mean, like, I want to think about that for a while. I'll talk for a little bit, but I mean, there was the thing like, I need something now. And I always think in a pivot, you know, like most job searches, it's probably going to take 6 months at least. And we're rewiring our brains, you know, for something different. And figuring out like what our deep roots are, that's how we build new branches. But from the right roots, we don't need to come from something completely new. That's where I would probably, it just goes back to courage. And sometimes I was prepared to take some things just to get something going while staying committed to finding the ideal thing. And you know, sometimes when I'm working with people, that's what they need to do. And it does take a lot to then stay committed to the, and yet what should I do? But once you know certain things, you know, there's work done out of Yale School of Management by Amy Rosinski about job crafting. You know, there's relationship crafting and cognitive crafting. That's how we think about our jobs. And then task crafting, which is getting in a position, because everybody who comes to that position does it slightly differently. And how can you then, because you know your strengths better, maybe advocate for those, maybe see if you can delegate some of the other tasks to someone else, or just do it differently in the way that you think about it and thinking about it, like deeper meaning in some of the more mundane stuff. So I think all of those can be helpful. But, you know, I say, you know, you're not supposed to do this to make tens of dollars. We all need to, you know, eat and sleep indoors. That's always the goal, right? So, you know, it's never supposed to be pie in the sky. And sometimes we're doing things and we keep pursuing it, but you can still find a lot of meaning, you know, right in your own backyard by just understanding yourself better.
Absolutely. I was having a conversation with, I believe it's Dee Dee or no, Aaron on a different podcast. And we were talking about, you know, every skill under the sun can really fit pretty neatly into about six categories. Right. And so if you look at, you know, Holland, interest yeah. skills, yeah. right? Like yes. everything fits in about six categories. Now there's different levels and depths and, you know, like you said, yeah. crafting, like honing in on your craft and those types of things. But still, it's more of how you communicate those skills and then how you express them, how you implement those skills on a day to day. That's going to make a difference in terms of what industry you're in. But the knowledge base might be different. The skill set mm-hmm. is going to be very similar. And you mentioned, you know, rewiring your brain to, it's almost like rewiring your brain to do the same thing in a different way.
Amen. I so agree with you. Yep.
So you've got so many great insights. And so I'm going to come back to one more before we really hone in on those three aspects to find your ideal job. And that is this idea of, you know, you've got necessity versus purpose. We talked about who I am versus what I'm interested in. So you've got your personality in there, your passion in there, your purpose in there. But in the middle of all that is kind of this confusing space of where do they all meet up? And you had mentioned that you help folks to make a really big pivot.
Yes.
So do you have like any stories or anecdotes of like just how big these pivots could be? Because I think people think of a pivot. And even when I say big pivot, they still hear the word pivot, which means you're just taking a degree mm-hmm. off. But you can actually go from art into chemistry. You can actually yes. go from engineering into marketing, right? So do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I wish I had prepared and kind of gone through some of my client list on this. Like one client that comes to mind, she was doing insurance sales that she did not like at all, but she loved animals, loved mm-hmm. animals. It wasn't at all related to what she was doing. And then she wondered, you know, should I be speaking about animals? Should I do a speaking platform? Should I, you know, is there a job for me? And it was going to require a whole new group of contacts. That was completely different network that she was going to need. Mm-hmm. But what we realized is that she is on the personality scale, she's a connector, which is an I on the disc. And they are great communicators, inspiring, very persuasive. So really kind of ideal in sales. Even though she thought she was terrible in sales because she hated the type of sales she was doing. So this may not be a great example. I'm sorry. I mean, I have to go back and do some homework, but
that's the beauty of the career process, right? Is that it's not a black and white clean science. It is a process and an art.
It is. And there are multiple ways to use your skills, as you were saying. You know, I don't believe there's one right person for you on the planet. You may have one incredible person that you are with for the rest of your life. But I do mm-hmm. think there are multiple people that could have filled that role. Mm-hmm. And it's the same jobs. And, you know, some of those, again, we get in there and we craft them and then they really become ideal. I don't think anything starts out as good. Mm-hmm. But this client, she had such courage. And because, you know, her husband was like, hey, this is taking a little bit of time. And don't you think this is crazy? Because now you're trying to get in with these companies and she didn't really know it would be sales. There was like a couple different things she was doing. We had to write a completely different resume for her and use, you know, a lot of her passion projects or interests on her resume to be able to advocate for the animal world. But she did, she worked it. I mean, we used mm-hmm. her LinkedIn, she met new people. I was so darn proud of her. And she took on a really great sales position with one of the biggest in the industry, like way more than she thought she was going to start with. Because again, it's a pivot, so you don't have to settle for less. And she was mm-hmm. doing some pro bono work for people to get experience. And but so much of that was who she was. She kept thinking, I must not be this person. And because her husband was her asset, which most of us have, that's what we're attracted to. She kept thinking she was the opposite.
Here. Because her and her husband were opposites, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Okay. Yeah, she's married to her opposite, as most of us are. And so she did not think she was supposed to be in sales because since she didn't like it, but also she kept thinking she should have the skills that her husband had, be more analytical, mm-hmm. be more driven by data, be more about the numbers and the spreadsheets. And really the sales process that she was looking at was all about people. She was excellent with people. She had just kind of lost that in the process. So she was able to, once she kind of, I say, you got to know yourself, you got to like yourself, because you're not going to feel confident advocating for your skills and your innate strengths in a setting, even if you're brand new to it, if you don't like what you're bringing. So I think you really have to have a positive view on that. And then you've got to express them. You've got to share them. And that's what she's doing. And she's starting in something pretty new. Like most of my clients, she feels some version of imposter syndrome, but you know, that's how we know we're growing. We've shown up somewhere where we have never been before, which I think is awesome.
Part of the process, right?
For sure.
So you're leading right into kind of those three aspects, your personality, like your real, true, authentic personality, your passion, which is what you like, and then your purpose. So first off, could you, we've talked about passion and personality, but can you just expound just a little bit on purpose before we go into the three aspects and how they lead to your ideal job?
Yeah, I just see purpose as the overarching umbrella of what you're here to do. I it's not a what, so it's not bound by a job, because it's also the purpose you deliver at home. It's the purpose you deliver as a parent. It's the thing I say, it's a combination. I use a Simon Sinek approach where it's a combination of a mission and a vision. And so it's your source of genius. That's your mission. You want to deliver that. And then it's the vision, which is the world you want to live in. So mine is to see deeper truths in people. That's why I liked marine biology long ago. I liked going deep. I just realized I like going deep into people, but that's my source of genius. And I do that so that people can reach their full potential. So that kind of purpose. So when you know that there are certain industries that are going to maybe be more conducive to delivering that, or you can take where you are right now and find ways to deliver that. But that's how I look at purpose. But it's, you know, it's not a who, it's not a purpose, a person. You know, it's pretty tempting with a lot of those social ones on the Holland Code, kind of service or caregiving type of industries like early education or healthcare, to be confused that your people are your purpose. But anything, whether it's a job, which is a what, or a service, you know, anything you can lose, whether a person leaves or graduates, moves on, or a position you lose, or a company, anything you can lose was never your purpose. They were just recipients of your purpose. So it's also not aware. A purpose is not where you're going, which is very distracting in terms of purpose, because it, you know, it gives us all this clear sense of advancement, or, you know, that feeling of accomplishment, which is great, but we can get laser focused on the end and miss the process, and purpose is always played out in the process. So it's a why. It's why we're here.
That's a great, you know, sort of definition and explanation of how to separate purpose from, you know, your population, your setting, your job, et cetera. Okay. So we've got these three aspects. Now walk us through, from your perspective, how these three aspects all blend together to create career direction for a career you're actually going to love and be satisfied by.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time, because you kind of do each of them separately, and then you're blending them as we go. Cumulatively, it's kind of your elevator pitch, because you're going to talk about the strengths that you bring, and those innate talents. And certainly, usually we're a blend of two different types, but making sure those are the right types, so we're not wearing a mask in one. But it's understanding what those strengths are. So you're advocating for your ability to problem solve, or to be precise, or again, to be a great communicator. And then as we move into passion, I determine that by using people's core values. And these are the things, like mine are courage and authenticity and growth and grit and belief, that when you define these, they actually tell you if you're with the right company. I love helping people align values for themselves with company values. So, and that could be in different industries. It doesn't necessarily negate different ones, but if you have a very service-oriented, supportive type of value system, you know, you may not like the corporate raider position. But if you're very ambitious and independent, then that could speak to a place that's quite good for you. And it's, it creates a really good conversation in interviews when you talk about environments that you thrive in. And people that you align with are usually those who share your values. So I, one of my favorite questions, Patricia, if I can give this, because it can really be helpful to people in determining core values. I don't like people to look at lists, go shopping for values. It's like getting a Nordstrom's gift card. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't
know. I don't even shop at Nordstrom's.
Well, yeah, but then you get in there, you're like, I'll take everything because it's awesome.
And they all sound great.
I know. So then we have every value, but that's not who we are. So I like to ask people questions and they come out. It could be personal or professional, mm-hmm. but to say, what makes you most angry? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite ones. And mm-hmm. and I had a client who was talking about, she actually graduated in the pandemic and had been a four-year athlete at a D1 school, had no idea what to do because she'd never really done internships or anything. So we went through personality and she was like, yeah, it's okay. I'm like, all right, it's only my area of expertise. We'll move on. And then I said, let's look at your passions. And that's when I asked her that question. She goes, well, what really makes me angry, stuff I hate, I hate feeling stuck, which is kind of what brought her, you know, to work with me. And then she said, and I hate people who won't put themselves out there. And she's like, I don't really hate them. But I was like, I get what you mean. Be honest. Mm-hmm. Just go for it. And yeah. then she talked about, she also hated fake people. They made her really angry. That just drove her crazy. I said, you know what? You're just describing the exact opposites of growth, which is the opposite of stuck, mm-hmm. Authenticity, which is the opposite of fake, and courage, which is the opposite of not putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the, she's like, oh my gosh, this just feels like this is my contribution to the world. And actually she went into sales with a tech company because she was able to use all of those values and they fully aligned with the company values. And she was able to advocate for that during the interview really well.
So, I think that's one of the pieces that everybody misses is they go into the interview trying to get the job, meaning trying to squeeze themselves into the size 6 shoe and trying to figure out like, what do you want to hear? And number one, they completely miss any kind of value-based or, and for better or for worse, these things really tug at our emotions, which is a whole other side of our decision-making process that makes a big difference. And they go in there trying to have the right answer so much that they completely miss the fit, the value, the connection, like with the other people in the room and with the mission of the organization. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
It's such a great point. And I think it is it feels like a softer, more authentic way to advocate for that, right? Because mm-hmm. you're not really advocating for yourself, which we all struggle a little bit with putting ourselves out there and we need to in an interview. But if you're kind of advocating for your values, that feels a little bit better. So in that way, just what you said, you get to interview them while they're interviewing you.
Absolutely. And the tables have turned. I mean, we're really in a space now where, you know, candidates are able to do that. And it's not only acceptable, it's actually a good thing. It's encouraged. It's impressive, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've gone through quite a bit of information and so many great insights here. And so if you were to begin to summarize, you know, personality, passion, and purpose, and how it can not just help you make decisions for your career, but help you drive your life forward and in a successful way, what would you share with the audience?
I would just encourage everyone to not skimp on this process. And I understand the necessity that we talked about earlier and whether you need to get something, save some time to work on this, you know, offline and really understand who you are, because that is how you're going to make your highest contribution. Why waste all those hours at work just doing a job when you could really contribute your best self? I mean, that's part of full potential. So mm-hmm. I would encourage everyone to take that time to really make sure they're not wearing personality masks. We call it covering. Deloitte study said that at least 61% of us in the work world are covering, but you need to be bringing your true personality to work. You need to know what that is and to advocate for it. Same with your passion and your purpose. And the purpose piece, it's the deepest dive. It can take the longest, but there are clues mm-hmm. along the way that, you know, Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, there's a companion to that called Find Your Why, which is a really useful tool. Of course, I do this kind of work. I have a membership where we do this kind of work if anybody is interested in doing that amongst mm-hmm. other people. But I just find that it gives you an excitement and a motivation for delivering on the thing that you feel like you are here to do. And I had a client who, hers is all about, she was a burn nurse and didn't know what she wanted to do after a period of time when her kids were grown and she wanted to do volunteer work, but she does it as a 40-hour work week. Mm-hmm. But in determining her purpose, so before she worked with these burn patients, so it's really to provide a sanctuary for fragile populations because they were the most fragile in the hospital. And now she works at the Denver Zoo working with some of the most fragile bird, the exotic birds, and loving it because she's still providing a sanctuary, a safe place for a fragile population. So it just allows you to feel like you're still in the lane you're supposed to be being in, but there's so many options for you there. And she just feels like she is on mission. I mean, there's almost not enough money that we could pay to give us that how much that's worth. It's a big deal.
No, it's true. And you know, it really drives home that story really drives home just sort of the entire episode, the entire conversation we've been having, which is her enjoying and loving and getting so much satisfaction out of her job is less about the setting, less about exactly what she's doing, less about the population, but more about how she's expressing her personality, her passion, her purpose. It's in being that sanctuary for others, whether it's a person or an animal. So that's where you can kind of see it's about who you are more so than who you work with.
So true. So well said.
So I love that. Okay. So we're about to wrap up here, but imagine that we've got millions and millions of listeners across the world and you've got 1 minute. What's the one thing you would say to them?
I would say that there's more to you than you know. And sometimes it's hard to read the label from inside the jar. So get some people outside of you to tell you what's awesome about you, what you can do that no one else can, to be reminded of some aspect of your personality, your passion, and your purpose. And then please go deliver on that. Please. That is a life to the full. And our world needs more of y'all doing that. We all need it.
I absolutely love it. I love it. Okay. So we're wrapping up now. I know you've mentioned some of your membership, but tell us all the places we can find you.
Yeah. The main website is yourauthenticpersonality.com. It's not my authentic. It's yourauthenticpersonality.com. At the top in the header, there is a tab for personality. And on that, I've got a free quiz. I've got, there's a paper quiz. There's an online quiz. There's a bunch of videos to help you discern who you are. There's just loads of information there. I've got a course called Career Pivot, 30 Days to Your Ideal Job. And that's under the coaching tab. So that's something to look at if you're kind of a DIYer, but you want all this to understand how to leverage your network and get new ideas and use that contribution. Module 2 is all about your personality, passion, purpose. So that's your authentic personality /career space pivot. No spaces, just career pivot. And then the final piece is that membership, because all of these courses, I've got a boundary boot camp, I've got an elevated authenticity blueprint, we've got all kinds of things around time management and personality mega pack and on and on. That all lives in the membership. And we've got an incredible group. This is only for women. So I'm sorry, guys, this is a place that we are helping women rise in their careers and in their place of influence. And that is somewhere that you can go and get the community that's all about doing that, get live calls and this full library that I mentioned. And that is under membership in the top tab, and it's called Elevated Authenticity. I'll be running a promotion over July 4th and then usually run them once a quarter. So if funds are tight, be looking for those promotions or get on the newsletter, and then you'll be given access to those whenever they come about.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. So we've got the authentic personality quiz, paper or online. We've got the career pivot program for DIYers. And then we've got the elevated authenticity membership. So all those links are going to be in the description. Again, thank you so much, Dale, for joining us. We really appreciate you having a conversation and sharing your insights and your experience. And to everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us. Know that we'll be praying for you and we'll see you on the next one.